So today we have an elder that's not ordained yet. And I thought, wow, this is a great time to start talking about elders. And this, it's not just being an elder, it's because when you're ordained as an elder, it becomes a lifetime commitment.
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't just fade away. And somebody said this morning, well, if you're an elder, then you're always an elder. You are. Whether you're elected to serve in the church that you're at, you are always ordained to do the work of an elder.
Amen.
You may not do some of the administrative duties that we're going to talk about today, but you're still an elder. It's a lot like being a pastor and being ordained. You're always an ordained pastor. Today I want to talk to you, though, about the role of an elder and where it came from. When we get into Exodus 24, verse 9 through 11, it says, "Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as if it were pavement of sapphire stone, like the heavenly for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief man of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and they drank." Can you imagine that? They were all able to go and behold God and have a fellowship meal with him. I should tell you a little bit about elders. The elders of the church seem to be more task-driven now over time. They've just kind of become task-driven. And I'd like to take some time today to remind all of us that the great work of an elder is called to do. It's not just to come and do certain tasks. Yes, they are called first and foremost by God.
Amen.
And then they are recognized by the church.
Amen.
And they're voted that way. And we'll go through that. But the work of the elder in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is extensive and it's varied. It is by nomination and by church vote that the elder joins in the substantial and the spiritual work of the church. Notice it is the spiritual work of the church. Elders are to work closely with the pastor in all aspects of serving the church. And in the absence of the pastor, the elder is to lead the church. And we probably need to understand that the elders are not paid. They don't get a paycheck. They don't get any kind of special status that is given to them. We need to understand those things because they work selflessly. The Apostle Paul instructions to the elders of Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 28, as Aiden read this morning. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which is he purchased with his own blood." That's a tall task, amen? That is a task. Turn with me, though, to Exodus chapter 18. We won't put it on the screen this morning, but Exodus chapter 18. It says, when we look at the history and the evolution of the church elder in the Bible, we see that they served all throughout church history. And they served as great men of God that have put God first and they put self last. And when God created the world, we begin to see that he established an organization among his people. In the days of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, God set up the patriarchal system. And he set that up as a basis to worship within the family. And we still utilize that even to this day. But he gave clear instructions on how to worship and all the symbols that were involved and that were to be conducted, how that worship was to be conducted. And the generation passed. And another generation passed. And they continued to pass until God called the nation out of Egypt. And when he led that nation out of Egypt and led them to the promised land, during this period, the children of Israel were called to witness God's love. And of course, to witness his endure promising, his promises. And yes, even though that God designated Moses to be the leader of the multitude out of Egypt, he also showed that effective leadership must be delegated. And that is important. So when we get to Exodus chapter 18, we're going to read 17 through 23. And please read along with me. It says, So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that they may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as to fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And then let them judge people at all times. Then it will be that very great matter that they bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will hear the burden with you. And if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all his people will also go to a place in peace." That's the work of an elder. They're to share in moving the congregation. God spoke to Moses a second time about elders, and he said this in Numbers 11, verse 16, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of the meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you. I will talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put that same spirit upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone." That is amazing when you look at how God deals with the overseers, how God's dealing with the church. And he does this all throughout history. So during the New Testament times, the terms designated for this position is elder, it is bishop, it is the overseer. It's important that we understand that work, not just because we are ordaining Danny this morning, but because it is a work that seems to fade away sometimes. Sometimes we get caught up in the everyday work of life. In Acts 4:23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after this, he left them to go work in new fields. He set them about the work in the church. Think of that. In fact, after the death, the resurrection of Jesus, God once again calls his people, now both Jews and Gentiles, to become a community of believers. During this period, he also gave instructions for leadership positions of the church and their responsibilities. So the Bible shows that God recognized the need of the people working together and supporting each other. The local elder provides spiritual leadership to the church family. That's their job. As well as the pastor. So it is important that the leaders have the necessary support from their church. And with that, the elders are appointed to serve the spiritual needs and the administration of the whole church. Not a segment of the church, not just a couple people, not just their family, but the entire church. That's the role of the elder. Amen. We need to understand that today. Last year, I moved to try to get elders engaged and move and have them come out and do visits. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm getting way off notes. But I can tell you that elders are not just to come here, stand here and give an offer and appeal and go sit down. That is not the job of an elder. That is a task that is given to the elder.
Amen.
We need to understand that. Elders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, let's talk about some history here. The Seventh-day Adventist Church designated the position of elder early in its history. The very first congregations elected deacons only. But that changed in 1861. After careful study, the church leaders declared that the model of elder and deacons was a biblical form of leadership. In the absence of a pastor, the elder fills the shepherding and the needs of the congregation, including preaching, visiting, evangelizing, providing administrative leadership.
Amen.
How many of you seen an elder do an evangelistic series? I have. My last district, I had two elders that did it. They can do anything a pastor can do. Well, most anything. Don't pump them up too big. You know, we seem to look at the elders as an elevation above church member, and it's not. You really want to know the truth? Elders are to serve.
Amen.
They're not to lord over the congregation. They're not to tell you the congregation what's right and wrong. They're not to administrate all the, well, over them. They're to serve you. Our elders are to serve the Nixa Seventh-day Adventist Church in any way possible. That's the role of the elder. The role of the elder should be one of the most humbled people in this church. We have this idea that the pastor is elevated way up above, and oh, pastor, you're here. No, the pastor is probably I should be the most that serves every one of you. And I have to serve the elders. Why? Because I love them just as much as I love you. It is a servitude mindset that we need to remember. That is what it's about. It's not only about preaching and visiting and evangelizing and providing administrative leadership. It is about serving you, the congregation. And I want to read to you the role of the church elder. Elders will be called upon to work in numerous areas in church life. These include the administration and the organization of the local church, as well as helping members utilize their spiritual gifts. Leading the congregation in outreach that moves the church towards growth. Assuring that the new converts are cared for both spiritually and relationally. In other words, they're going to make sure that they fit in with the family. It's not just the pastor's job, it's the elder's job. Leading worship services, other activities, preaching, visiting. I sent the elders out last year to visit, and I had a lot of you church members say, well, we don't need visits from the elders. Yes, you do. Because if you notice, I can't get around to everybody. You guys shift, move, we got truck drivers. I can't be there all the time. Visitation is one of them. Participating in the church committees, actively maintaining a pastor-elder working relationship. You know what that means? They got to work with me. And I can tell you that's hard to do. They have to work with me. They don't have to agree with me. And I need to make that clear. I don't expect an elder. In fact, my elders don't agree with me most of the time. I come across, my military background comes into play. And Eston and Gary and Mike, and they can all tell you, they're like, no, don't do that, Pastor. That's not right. And I listen to the counsel of my elders.
Amen.
Because they work with me. And they tell me when I'm wrong, which is probably 99% of the time. But that's what I need out of an elder, because if not, if I just rely on my own carnal mind, guess what? It's wrong. Sometimes I need to step back and look at it from somebody else's perspective. And it's easy to do from those elders that were willing to speak up and to give me good, solid counsel. And I appreciate that.
Amen.
Mentoring members to become strong leaders. You know, when I first came into ministry, I was told very clearly, you are only successful when you've taught somebody how to do your job. When you make yourself obsolete, then you're successful.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't make much sense, right? We have some young deacons coming on to play. I am happy, and deaconesses. We'll see them in 2 weeks. They need to come up in leadership because, well, some of us older people are wearing out. I can't do everything anymore. I need somebody that's younger, that still has a back left. Mentoring those members to become strong leaders, because those deacon and deaconesses one day will become your elders one day. They will become your church leaders, your Sabbath school teachers. They're going to be the ones who spiritually lead this church when all us old people are too old to do that. So we need to develop them now. Elders are part of a team that includes the pastor. They need to also be part of the board of elders. Every week, which you don't know, but I'll let it out of the bag. Every week, our elders come together on something called an Uber conference. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, the elders meet. And we talk about the issues in this church, and we prayerfully seek answers for those issues. Every week. And then once a month, we have church board, and we have church officers. They need to be part of that team because it's a team within a team. And if the whole team moves together, we can accomplish great things here.
Amen.
This team sees to the overall functions and the work of the church. Elders help provide direction in that vision and the implementation of the church ministry in this community. And you know what, this church, you know what our, thinking of a good way to say it. What's our church mission statement? Anybody know? We don't have one. We need one, amen.
Amen.
We don't have one. What's our direction? What can every member in this church get behind and move towards? What is our direction? We don't have one. Tomorrow morning, we're going to work on getting one. The elders last week, we kind of talked about it a little bit. Tomorrow morning, we're going to look at it as a board, as that team is going to come together. We're going to look at what is our mission, what is our goals for this church. And then we're going to bring it to all you, and you guys are going to vote on it. And if you get behind it, then you have to support it, right? The focus of an elder should be church growth for the entire church, for the whole church. We cannot afford to be segmented on this. God was not, Christ was not, and when we look at the apostles, they were not. All elders should have turned... attend all the board meetings. They should attend the church board meetings. They should attend the church business meetings. And additionally, they may even be asked to serve on other committees established by the local church. They are to lift those people up in those committees. Elders should have a basic understanding of leadership. And then they should learn what duties are expected of the church clerk, of the treasurer, of the deacons, of the deaconesses, the personal ministry leader, the Sabbath school superintendent, the interest coordinator. Elders need to know what those jobs are as well, because how else can they support them? So when a church has a long-term vision of their work in the community, it helps them to be more effective in developing ministries and outreach activities that are going to draw people to Christ. Elders assist in planning those activities. one of the elders' biblical roles in the building of relationships with the congregation and the community. That is a biblical role. Every one of you should know your elders. That elder should come to your home. They should pray with you. They should talk with you. They should be concerned about you. They should minister to you. And this can't be accomplished when they only show up on Sabbath and talk to you in the morning or interact with others. They gotta do more than just show up on Sabbath morning. You gotta see them out in the world, out in the community. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning. Visiting seems to become a lost art, hasn't it? We live in a time today where visiting's, hi, how are you doing on Facebook or Twitter? Visiting's a lost art. Elders can set the example for others by establishing a visitation plan. They've already done that. With a pastor and the elders, they come together and they develop the plan. They've already done that. I guarantee you, you guys are going to know who your elder is, because they're going to call you up, because we hold each other accountable for those things every Wednesday. And that visitation also includes the deacons and the deaconesses and some of the members. We need to make sure members are visited as well as non-members. And you noticed, I said that visitation should be done by the elder and who else? The deacons and the deaconesses. Amen. And we're going to talk about that. Because I think when we are truly ministering to one another, this church has no limits. Because God has no limits. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the hard work the nominating committee did. I appreciate the vote that you guys did last week. But as we close today, we get to witness something that, well, not all of us get to witness all the time. Danny, would you like to come forward? So we all know Danny is the church treasurer, right? And I can tell you from my time of knowing Danny that there's probably no numbers that are out of bounds for him. He gets everything figured out. He's very exacting of that. But the nominating committee nominated him to be an elder this year. On top of his wonderful treasury duties. And of course, he accepted that nomination because God's called him to do this. And then you voted the last 2 weeks to accept Danny as your elder to serve you. Come on up here, Danny. So this is your new servant. Not your new overseer, not the guy that's going to lord over you. This is your new servant. Treat him well. Would the rest of the elders please come forward? The ordained pastors, those, would you all please come forward? Laura, would you like to come forward? Hey, elders for life. Ordinations for life. So if I get all the elders, past, present, ordained pastors, everybody come forward. If half this church comes up, we're in big trouble. We're going to do this right here. So, elders are, they're only as good as their home. Right, Danny? We do need to remember some things. Yeah, well. We read those rules off. We've listened to a sermon on what it means to be an elder. You have to rule your house well, which we know that Laura rules the house, but she does it well. Your church has elected you and entrusted you with a sacred responsibility that you will take prayer, time, effort. It will take prayer, time, and effort, and patience, and sometimes even the wisdom of Solomon. The Bible gives specific instructions on the duties and the commitments that God expects from those set aside for this position. This isn't a role requiring that you only show up on Sabbath morning for an offering call or to introduce the speaker. It is a serious time commitment. And above all, God has called you to this position. Your church has voted you to serve them. As elder, you are to serve every member of this church equally and unselfishly. And in 1 Timothy, we begin to read this. And I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his house well, having his children in submission of all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's a tall order. Amen. As ordained elders and pastors, please come up here and gather on this backside. Danny, if you would take a knee, I know you're a back scout, I'll help you back up. If you would all please place your hands upon him. And it's the laying hands of an elder that's the ordaining process. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today as we have seen your calling to Danny. And Father, this day we lift up Danny and we lift up Laura, Lord, because you have called him to ministry in this church. And as he moves to fulfill the commitment that he has devoted towards you, Father, we ask that you would bless him, that you would give him that strength, the endurance, Lord, the wisdom. But Lord, also give him your spirit. As you've given to each man up here, Lord, we ask that you give this spirit to Danny. Give him that patience. Give him the love for each person that you've called him to. Give him the commitment in his own life so that he can be committed to this church. With this, Father, we ordain Danny as an elder of the Nixus Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we ask your blessing upon that ordination. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's almost a rise in elder. You guys feel like you got singing voices? You don't get to leave. Proof. You can stay up here and sing with me. Okay. Would you all please stand today? Our closing song today is Not I But Christ, hymn number 570. I believe that should be in all our hearts this day. And after the service, please feel free to come up here and give Danny a shake of the hand and welcome him to the servitude leadership of the Nixa Church. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. What a great day. Father, we pray that you would be with Danny as he moves forward as an elder now from this day forward. We pray that you would use him, Lord, to lift up this church, to touch lives in a special way. But Father, this day on this Sabbath, we ask that you be with each one of us. Touch our hearts in a way that, Lord, only you can. Draw us near to you. Lead us always. Guide us and strengthen us. And Father, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.